Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Didn't mean to, you know. I slept.
Yeah. We're keeping it. It's in.
Okay. Nevertheless. enjoy that, Succession fans.
Should I bleep it? Do you want me to bleep it?
How
many times has that happened to you on a podcast in reality?
I can't recall another time. I mean, like in the transcript, let it be known,
yeah,
that was in quotes.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was never.
Yeah.
I am quoting.
I know. You're quoting. It's mm-hmm. a quote. It's a quote. Mm-hmm. It's a quote.
R to the OB and Josh Wigler talking about Succession. One podcast per week. See, R to the OB. And Josh Wigler talking about Succession. Podcasting like bozos, make some noise.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's the Rob and Josh Show here on Post Show Recaps, talking about the final season of Succession all season long. I'm Josh Wigler. This is Rob. And today we're talking about season 4, episode 4 of Succession, Honeymoon States. Hello, Rob.
Josh, I just want to say that anytime that we get together, I just am very excited about this opportunity. And anytime you want to call on me, I live to serve. Any chance to serve, that is in my nature. And I would be very appreciative
of
that.
Look at you. Wib wob Rob. Puckering up those lips to kiss my butt.
We all know that you are the person who should be here and that any opportunity to serve with you would be, you know, I would greatly appreciate that. I would be heartened. Yeah.
I like you, Rob. Good luck. That's one of the most savage line reads of the episode, by the way, is like the quick assassination from Kendall. I like you, Tom. Good luck. Like, Kendall sees the writing on the wall, like, you're what Carl said in the room that I couldn't hear. Yeah, you're dead, dude. This is not a good situation for you.
Tom was bouncing around, trying a lot of stuff. I love
making moves here on Succession's final season. Week 4, the Honeymoon States. Do you have any thoughts on the title? I've been getting into this with a couple of the people.
Yeah.
Honeymoon States.
Is there a double entendre there of, I mean, it was said by Willa, but I just wonder maybe if it was just like, did they not want to spoil Logan's death? And it's like, okay, well, let's just put like as innocuous of a line in here as possible.
Was the line a cross out or an underline is the question that I have. I've been thinking about this a little bit more. And one of the questions that I had had and that we'd like batted back and forth about the title rehearsal a couple of weeks ago was like, is it just the rehearsal dinner that's sort of being talked about? And then I think in hindsight, you can see like it was sort of like a rehearsal for like their final words and their final position against their father, because he dies in the very next episode and the very next day. Here, I feel like Honeymoon States, there is the explicit read about Connor and Willa and their upcoming tour of the States that shall serve as their honeymoon. I think that there is also a read that once this episode ends, by the end of episode 4, the honeymoon is over for the Roy siblings.
But we're just getting started.
Like whatever like peaceful situation had existed between Kendall Roy and Roman and Shiv feels like it's pretty significantly disrupted by the end. So that's the closest that I've been able to get is like they've been on like it's been the honeymoon period for these first few episodes of the season. Now we have like the breaking of the 3B, Do we like the 3B, calling them the
3B? Yeah, I never heard that before. Yeah.
Are we the 2B right now?
2B? No, I do that with not, Chappelle. Not that's 2B or not 2B. Yeah, okay. That's a podcast that we're it's in development.
It's in the incubator. But I think clearly Shiv is not included in the CEO thing as much as she's told she'll be across the table from everything. Mm-hmm. I feel like it is the end of an era for we've good thing. We got somewhere. I feel like the got somewhere is like they hit the top of the mountain and it's probably swiftly downhill from here. That's as far as I've gotten with analyzing the title.
Yeah, the good and the bad of Logan is that he did bring the three, and with all due respect to Connor, the three Roy siblings together in Italy in the beginning of this season. And we got to see, one last ride of the three of them together. But now, the gloves are off and I don't think that we will see them back all on the same side of this thing, perhaps at the end, but I think not.
It's going to take a minute. So I want to get your take on this episode, Rob. We are a week removed from the cataclysmic death of Logan Roy, and we are dealing with the aftermath here in a big way in Honeymoon States. It's a swift battle for the crown in this episode. It's also the passing of the torch in a couple of different ways, whether it's the CEO title to Kendall and Rome, or the possibility of a next generation through Shiv, or even Connor Roy inheriting a haunted house in this episode. What did you think overall of the first Logan?
You don't think that the house is haunted by Logan, do you?
Yeah, so I have not revealed this theory yet on a podcast. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm just going to warm up here. I think Chekhov's CCTV, okay? Chekhov's CCTV.
Logan is always watching.
That was planted in the very first episode of this season. I think that we're going to get a Paranormal Activity style episode for the series finale. The question of succession has been resolved. We know who is in charge. That person will be in a very lonely state in the mansion, and paranormal Logan possession shenanigans will occur, and we will watch it all happen via the CCTV cameras.
Wow. I mean, okay. So we're watching. See, I thought that the CCTV
It's a found footage finale.
Yeah, I thought that the CCTV cameras was a metaphor for Logan is everywhere watching the thing. But you say, okay, so that's actually going to be the way that we are going to see.
Yeah, it's metaphorical, but it's also literal. We're literally in the CCTV cameras.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so that's an interesting theory. I don't want to dismiss it just out of pocket.
Ghost Apocalypse, Rob, is sort of what I'm driving at.
Mm-hmm. Ghost Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm along for the ride.
Would that be ghost or not ghost? This is my question.
Yeah. So I also that there was a line in the episode of Kendall talking about how I don't want this to be a haunted house. That he literally said that, and that was not in regards to Connor buying this property from and moving in.
Yeah, he meant it literally as in the business. He doesn't want the business to be a haunted house. We got to do the deal. We got to sell. But could that have been just a little chunk of breadcrumb, like a whole ass Kaiser roll dropped on the ground on the way towards a spooky Succession series finale? Just putting it out there. I feel like we should consider it as a possibility.
Yeah. Oh, I love the theory, and I feel like that there's no accidents in Succession.
Yeah, I feel like a Logan Roy apparition sort of coming to Kendall, Jacob Marley style.
Ooh.
Yeah. Throw a flash forward in, have Jeremy Strong and old man prosthesis.
You know, Connor did even mention Scrooge and how he was good for the workers.
Yeah.
So I'm on.
They don't talk about that. They don't talk about that he was good for the workers.
Yeah. Website, TV show transcripts, .ourboard.org. And so In the Succession transcript, Kendall says, yeah, we can't live in a haunted house. When they're in regards to, look, the deal has to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would be here for it. I would be here for it.
Yeah, that's when he's going back and forth with Stewie, when Stewie asks him, do you even effing like the deal?
Yeah.
I do. Look, the deal has to happen. We can't live in a haunted house.
Stewie is sort of like a classic type of character who's like sort of like the sardonic, wry comic relief who gets killed off in the spooky movie. Like, so I feel like we've got
he's one of the first to go.
Yeah, we've got some victims on the board. I think we've got like some victims who are going to like make it through but be forever traumatized by the ghosts. I think the ghosts bursting out of the walls and doing all kinds of unmentionables. I think that this is something. I think that we should think about the honeymoon scare. I think is something that might be in the future.
I love
probably it. Probably not. Kendall Roy and Roman Roy, co-CEOs, good idea or bad idea, Rob?
Like, I think in a perfect world, I think it is a good idea. Like, I do feel like that Roman is a lot more on the ball. And I feel like that where Roman has certainly had his flaws over the years, like, I feel like that Roman is seemingly like the most together. My question that I am left with is pre-grieving. Are we, and Roman even says like, look, I'm probably gonna it's all gonna come apart later, but right now I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. And should we buy this? Is Roman actually doing well? Like, is Roman the person who actually is the person that should be running this thing?
Yeah. Has he like properly preved is the question. Well, this is a question that is being asked a little bit right now on yon internets. This was tweeted my way by M Scout. M Scout said, did you catch Roman taking pills in Logan's office? Early in the trailer, there's a clip of a Roman that looks like maybe he could be taking pills. And while Kendall is the addict, go back and watch the scene. I'm planting a flag on this, says M Scout. I did notice that he like takes his father's pills from the office. I couldn't tell if he was like taking the pills himself, but I do fear that there's like a facade of togetherness that Roman is putting forward that's like not exactly accurate to how he's really feeling, that's going to spill over in some kind of a dangerous way. I'm nervous for Roman in this situation because I think that like he does have the relationships. This is what he argues. Like, he's also on like the draft. Like, he and Kendall should both be stepping up. They both have like valid arguments to do it. But I feel like Roman is somebody who like kind of lacks that killer instinct that maybe Kendall just demonstrated by the end of this episode. And I feel like he is, I think he's more vulnerable than he's letting on, Rob. Mm-hmm. I think that this pre-grieving, I don't know that this is actually something that works.
But I do feel like that for so much of Roman's character was that he was scared of Logan. And he just wanted, you know, like everybody
to really
be together as a family.
Freaked out by the ghost.
He'd be really scared of the ghost. The ghost could send him, very, you know, sailing. But I kind of feel like that maybe like there might be like a little bit of a weight lifted off of Roman where he is like not going to get yelled at by his dad anymore. And I do wonder if that could be like somewhat freeing. And I do feel like that, okay, well, somebody has to be sort of like the like center of this person. And Kendall is, he's going to go nut-nut. We all know this, right? Mm-hmm. Kendall's going nut-nut. Shiv, that she's, I find her to be the most entitled out of any of the Roy children where, you know, again, like, Shiv, what have you done? What are your accomplishments?
And sure as shit doesn't say Shiv.
Yeah, I thought that was a little extra. But at least the other brothers have like worked in the company, and you know, Shiv's always looking for like some other like greener pastures. And look, and perhaps because these opportunities were not always offered to her for a variety of reasons, that is totally valid. But that being said, in terms of like, should Shiv be the CEO of the company? Like, I don't think so. Not based off of like her work experience so far. And so Yeah, I do think that Roman is, you know, going to be the person, I think, who is going to be the voice of reason of the three of them.
You know what? I think that he says it in the season three finale where, like, maybe you'll do this for us, Dad, but out of love. And Logan laughs at him, basically. You come to me with love. Do you think that Roman is going to be a guy who tries to rule with love? And is that an effective leadership strategy in the universe of Succession?
It has not been to this point. And it actually... I want to go back to what we were talking about with Kendall and Stewie, where, you know, Stewie ends that conversation that we were talking about before. Like, yeah, but what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. And Kendall ends it with like, hey, well, you know,
how about doing your oldest friend a solid
for your oldest pal the day after his dad died. And the scene ends. And then we see Stewie in the next scene of like being very much backing Kendall.
Yeah,
but I have to feel like that we missed something, that Stewie is like a, you know, naked operator. He is somebody who is just not going to, I think, like go to bat for Kendall just because he likes the guy.
Yeah, I think that the show is likely to get us into some like severe history repeats itself, but even worse territory. And I feel like we're already kind of in that. Like, this episode feels a lot like the episode when Logan was in the hospital in season one, and they're all kind of like trying to figure out what to do. And the results of that episode were very similar to the results of this episode, Kendall and Roman at the top. And so here we've got that once again. And so in the continued world where history is repeating itself, but worse, Stewie backed Kendall. He singed his pubes, as he says. I feel like that might be the best of it for Stewie. I feel like Stewie backing Kendall here, Rob, if you're a Stewie stan, I would start stealing yourself.
Are we Stewie stans?
I don't know. I think that
Sandy stans.
Ariane Moyad, who plays Stewie, needs to be like a Bond villain at some point.
He's so good. He's very good. And his beard is so on point. One of the best beard games on all of television.
He's just a fabulous looking individual. And like his mannerisms and his voice. And I think, is it Carl or Frank, I think, who's like, oh, you're just going to puppet master them. He goes, who, me? Like, there's just like a little bit of sass to Stewie that I really like. So yeah, I think I stan Stewie to a degree. You know, as much as you stan any of these people, I think Stewie's great, but I think that Stewie is boned. I think that anyone who kind of like willingly walked into Kendall Roy is a good idea for any of this, considering the way that Kendall has acted in, I don't know, the entirety of the freaking show. That this is like, we've already been to Fool Me Twice, I feel like.
Yeah,
Fool Me Thrice. I don't even want to think about what happens when you fool me thrice, Rob.
Yeah, I guess for Kendall, like we see at the end of this episode, like he definitely chooses the path. And Kendall has a point, like, this is what dad would have done. Yeah. You know,
bad dad stuff.
And, you know, and Logan famously questioned, is Kendall a killer? You're not a killer. Yeah. But what if he is? And, you know, should we be feeling good about Kendall's decisions if he is doing the path that Logan would have gone down?
Right. So a couple of things. First of all, the internet is really lit by the fact that Kendall's name is Kendall Logan Roy, KLR, killer.
Oh, okay.
So there's that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I guess it depends on what you want. Do you want to see Kendall succeed and live up to his father's wildest dreams at all costs? And even if those costs are like the, if not literal deaths, then figurative deaths of everybody around him, Stewie, Sandy, Jerry, Carrie, Carl, Hugo, Frank, the Sibs, if he burns the whole haunted house down to the ground, but you're a Kendall stan, does that work? So I guess like that is my question is like, I know like Kendall is an exciting character, and like seeing Kendall live up to, like, defying his father's expectations of him is a really exciting arc. But I just don't see how that arc gets fulfilled, Rob, without extraordinary collateral damage. I do think I'm here for it.
It's such a good question of what do you want to see?
Because if you want peace for Roman, I don't think that then you can have peace for Kendall. Like, I don't think if you want peace for Shiv, I don't think that Kendall can have a happy ending. You know, I don't think that anyone can really have a happy ending anyway, but a successful ending. I think that the odds of this working out for your Romes when Ken is operating in the way that he is, like, this episode's ending really angled us in a destructive direction, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think that we will see the siblings tear this thing apart. Yeah, there is no outcome where Kendall, under his stewardship, ends up successfully leading Waystar Royko all the way back to a new, higher highs.
Same but different. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Same vibey, same, but new vibey leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think, probably not, but I think ego and, lifelong desire, these are the things that are going to leak in to this position. Like, Kendall's entire vibe changes once the piece of paper is brought into his possession. I talked about it as kind of Sword in the Stone type stuff. Here's King Arthur being faced with his Excalibur destiny.
I come in here I really have not been in a lot of the Succession
discourse. Yeah.
Yeah, I hop in and I love to get all of the takes of everything that's going on from people that are way more in it than I am. So is there anybody that is interpreting the line as an underline and not a cross out? Does anybody have that take?
That it's an underline and not a cross out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. I think that the internet is split, skewing underline would be my.
Does Logan Roy not have a highlighter?
You know what? Highlighters are trouble, I think.
Are they? Are they leak?
Yeah.
So well, does Logan.
If they do leak, it's a problem. Maybe he was eating highlighters along the way. Could explain a thing or two about Logan. I don't think Logan Roy would deign to use a highlighter. That's an old school guy. That man uses pencils with fierce amounts of lead in them.
Yeah. So in terms of I guess I have two different thoughts on this.
So are you team cross out?
I'm team cross out. Cross out. Although I do feel like that if I'm going to cross something out, if I'm reviewing my notes, I don't think that if there's something that I am really feeling strongly about from my own notes, I feel like I'm more of a circle or an arrow pointing to the thing or maybe multiple underlines. I feel like that if you were going to be doing some sort of document review, that feels more like a cross out. Now, I do think that you would probably maybe multiple cross outs for no confusion, but that feels like a cross out there.
Yeah, I think so Antonio had the take that he thinks that it was underlined, that the way that you see the line start, that it's so underneath the words at the leftmost side of the line. And so it's that's how you start. You go left to right on something like this. You don't slash down.
And Logan may have been a couple of scotches in at that point.
And I think there's some questions as well as to, do we know, is Logan Roy a lefty or a righty? We're going to have to go back and study the tape is a possibility. Then there was also some observations about the Too Much Birthday episode of Succession, which was I believe episode 8 of season 3, 7 of season 3, which was directed by Lorraine Scafaria, who's the same director as this episode of Succession. And Kendall gets the bad dad stuff on his birthday. It's this terrible birthday card that says cash out and F off. And if that's Logan's handwriting, then happy birthday in the message is crossed out, and it's a very clear cross out. Question is, is that just like dictated to Carrie though? You know, it's totally possible. So
yeah. Also, you know, if Cousin Greg is being referred to on this, like, I don't think that Logan even knew who Cousin Greg was prior to the past year. So the document, they think that maybe the document was written 4 years ago, but at some point in the last year that Logan maybe marked this up with some, I'm trying to remember what the word was they said about Greg.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that the last year has not been great with Logan and Kendall. So I feel like if there were revisions to this piece of paper in the last year, I feel like that this was like sort of like at the height of Logan and Kendall's acrimonious relationship. I feel like that this was a negative in terms of the marking up. Why do you need to underline it? Like, you've made the document. There's no need to underline. It's not like that. Really give the company to him. I'm serious about
this. Like, this time I mean it. This time I'm not joking. Like, this time I'm not trying to like Charlie Brown him and like yank the football out from beneath his grasp. I think it's a fair question. I think like the timing tracks. So I'm trying to go back to we're doing this live on the pod right now. So I'm looking at Kendall's I'm looking at Logan's handwriting right now in season 2 episode 10. This is not for tears. This is after the congressional hearings, and Cousin Greg is already taking the stand and trying to testify and do his best to do his worst. And in this episode, Logan is trying to figure out, okay, well, who am I casting to the wolves? This is the blood sacrifice we're talking about here. And if the question is, like, does Logan actually take his own notes? Or is he just like this total, you know, terrible guy who just like dictates even his worst things to other people to carry out and execute? Or would you be able to like put the notes that he has written side by side with, let's say, this birthday card that Kendall receives that tells him this is a cash out or F off opportunity? So I'm looking now at Kendall Roy's birthday card. And the words, they do look like it is written by the same hand. And so if they are by the same hand, Rob, then the cross out on the happy birthday would be Logan Roy, which would give us a very clear way to map how does Logan Roy cross out versus underline. His cross outs are clean. I am team underline. I am team underline after
but
this.
Why?
And I'll do some screenshots for you, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, you can screenshot and you can put this on social media.
Yes. That,
so if he's marking up this document in the last year, you know, going back to what they say to Greg, there was a side letter left by Logan, some wishes, some disbursements. And then they tell Greg, okay, that Greg, you're mentioned, and you're in addendum of miscellaneous matters in pencil with a question mark, to which Greg has the great response. Nevertheless, it's like, he's like, this thing is done. It's written. And Logan's coming in and like, all right, Greg, question mark. All right, Kendall, I know that's not happening. It was like a document that needed to be updated. He was working through some revisions of things that needed to be added or taken out from it. And to me, I feel like that the Kendall cross out was like, okay, well, we got to change that. We got to put something in here for Greg. And then there's some other like markings of like, okay, the next version of this is going to have changes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. Okay. So I've just slacked you two images, Rob. This is the side by side This is the side-by-side of Logan's handwriting in the season two finale. Confirmed Logan's handwriting. He has the thing in front of him. He's been noodling on it. This is Logan drawing, writing things down, coming up with his potential kill list. The next image that I have for you is the happy birthday, cash out, and F off. Does this look like the same penmanship to you?
Sure. I will say that the happy birthday that gets crossed out is much bigger.
Yeah.
May have been with a Sharpie.
Just like an easier target.
Yeah. Look, I think that this is late at night.
Important is that the ink is a different color. Mm-hmm. And like the black ink for Logan Roy's confirmed handwriting, that feels very classic big boss ink. The blue ink, that kind of feels like assistant ink, doesn't it?
I don't think so. I don't think that he would ask. I think he relished getting to cross out and write fuck off.
Yeah.
So didn't mean to, you know, I slept. We're keeping it.
It's in.
Okay. Nevertheless, enjoy that Succession, fans.
Should I bleep it? Do you want me to bleep it?
How
many times has that happened to you on a podcast in reality?
I can't recall another time. I mean, like in the transcript, let it be known.
Yeah.
That was in quotes.
Uh-huh.
Like that was never.
Yeah,
I am quoting.
I know you're quoting. It's mm-hmm. a quote. It's a quote. Mm-hmm. It's a quote. Okay. Well, one of the things that I love about this is we're never going to know.
Yeah.
There's no way of ever knowing. We shall never find out whether or not Logan actually meant for this to be Kendall. And I think it's just like another smart way to handle, probably a smarter way than I would handle the ghost of Logan Roy, is to have it be like these implied moves that are made that we are left to interpret, and like the rest of his, you know, people that he's left behind, his kids, his servants, whether it's Tom or the Keystone F's as they are referred to, that these are the people who are going to like have to like scramble to like solve the Sudoku puzzle that is Logan Roy. Do you do Sudoku?
I do not.
Yeah. Have you ever Sudoku'd? Were you ever a Sudoku guy?
I have never been a Sudoku guy.
Yeah.
You know, interesting that Logan would do it.
Let's say you go. So let's just say, like, I think he went. And then I come to Rob's podcast office. What's going to be, like, your Sudoku? What's the thing that I'm going to be really surprised
that
like,
I do?
You know that Rob does Sudoku?
My hobbies?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's... I mean, there's probably, like, plenty. Did you know how much he was? I don't know if there's, like a specific like hobby that I don't talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we gotta find one. Mm-hmm. Or you're just like closely guarding a deeply held secret, which
yeah.
is your right. It is your right. Speaking of close,
I mean, I've only done like, you know, 10,000 hours of podcasting, so uh-huh. I think like any of my interests like have probably like come up.
Most of your stuff is identified. You did say something to me during one of our pre-podcasts recently that I had never heard before, but I'm not gonna repeat it. I'm not gonna say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of closely held secrets, Rob, Carrie shows up in this
yeah.
episode, and it is a very severe scene where Carrie is basically smited by Marcia, and Carrie is talking to Roman about, if you read the closed captioning, we're making plans to get married.
Yeah.
He is making arrangements. What kind of arrangements do you think exist in the Carrie-Logan relationship? Are they going to matter at all? Or was that like a vicious curtain call on Carrie?
It was a vicious curtain call. I mean, this was like sort of like Game of Thrones-esque. And I feel like that that Carrie, like going back to the season three finale, like I think she wanted to, you know, have a child with Logan. I think that that probably the suspicions were accurate. And unfortunately, you know, that she does not seem to be with child, unlike Shiv. And I think that would have been, you know, really helped her claim.
Yeah, it would have. The theory that I started to propose that I don't think has gotten any traction is What about the world where Roman sweeps in and replaces Logan in the Logan and Carrie dynamic? Do you see this world at all where Roman potentially could woo Carrie with his father out of the picture?
Why? Does Carrie seem like she is Roman's type? Why are you opining about this?
I don't know that she necessarily on her own would be Roman's type, but I think that like Roman has had these moments in the past where like his interests have been like kind of like mired in some of this Freudian stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think that she's giving off mother
vibes. She's giving mother of his secret illegitimate brother, if that was something that was.
Yeah, wrong. I don't know. I don't think that that's a thing. Now, is Succession Twitter say Carrie is mother or no?
No, I don't think that Succession Twitter says Shiv Carrie is mother. I think they say Shiv is mother of Droigans is where that goes. Where's Shiv's pregnancy story taking us?
I don't know. I had this debate with my wife about that.
Whether this was like good or bad.
Well, I don't know. I wonder if it's ultimately going to lead to Shiv and Tom reconciling. And that's something I could see by the end of the series of, you know, sort of like this where Shiv, because Shiv and her relationship with her own mother, I do think has been, you know, a big part of the show. And Shiv going into motherhood might be an interesting thing to explore. And certainly Shiv and Tom's relationship has been a big part of the show. So I do wonder if this is ultimately part of like Shiv's endgame of like coming to terms with like her having her own family.
Yeah.
And what that looks like. But my wife seemed to feel like, oh, now they're not going to give Shiv the company because she's pregnant.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think that's going to be why.
No, I think that she's not getting it.
Not sure what the Waystar Royco maternity leave policy is, but I can't see that is. If she was worthy of it, I don't think it's going to be like, oh, she's pregnant, so now she can't be CEO.
Well, the thing that's sort of, I think, really standing in the way of anybody having the Waystar Royco throne is this sale and whether or not it's going to go through. And in this episode, multiple times, Rob, everyone is checking in with each other and making sure, like, we all want the same thing, right? And everyone's like, yeah, it's a good deal. We'd like to sell. We want to cash out. Nobody refutes this at all. But I feel like if everybody has consensus around a thing on this show, that's got to be bad for the fate of the thing. So I'm almost like at this point, 1,000% sure that this sale will not
happen,
or at least it won't happen in a way that any of the people are satisfied with. Like, I think the deal as it's existed in, you know, the way that Logan ironed it out, that's not going to exist anymore. And if there is a deal, if there is a sale, it would be like a very desperate thing that will leave everybody out in the cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's probably going to be Kendall who walks away from the sale, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. I feel like the disparity between where he starts the episode and where he begins it, or where he ends it rather, he's, you know, like, you know, a husk of himself at the start of the episode. He's been up all night. By the end, he's smiling and talking about what he's going to do to Hugo with a strap on. So he's,
can we talk about that also?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. So, you know, it's interesting. So on my latest viewing this morning, of course, you know, the episode ends with Kendall's, you know, threat of what he might do to Hugo. That's what he says. I'm confused. Like, why does Kendall need to put on
strap on to Kendall as F off was to Logan? Is this going to be Kendall's new catchphrase?
I don't know. Interesting. Like you said in episode one that you were on Pal Watch, that this, where Hugo asks, hey, can I get a sign off from Carolina and Roman? And
no,
Kendall
pal.
Says, no, pal, no.
No, pal. No. Yeah.
Yeah. So he does inherit the pal.
Yeah.
But interestingly, Hugo himself, is, in his conversation, he's with the daughter. He's on the phone and he says, "You effed me right here in the A here." Mm-hmm. He says, "What you've done, Juliet, is you've taken a strap on and you effed me right in the A." Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, did Kendall hear him? Is the house bugged? What are the chances that the usage of strap on happens in both? In both, is it a double? No. Or actually, I don't think that can be. Look, I don't know.
He heard him. He heard him. He heard the. He had to have heard what he said. And I think like the exact use of that is like to demonstrate like you're not going to get anything past me, pal. Like I heard everything. Mm-hmm. I see everything. I know everything. I'm the, you know, the heir, the proper heir, and Logan is dead, but he's also still here.
Like, it I was feel like Kendall and even so, in earshot. That's the message.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's walking through the lobby, and Hugo's pretty loud about it.
Yeah,
okay. And I was actually thinking that, like, I think that this is why
echoey.
Hugo like does come to him later. He's like, I got a problem, because like. Kendall clearly was there and overheard all of that. So I feel like Hugo coming to Kendall is sort of like he's done the calculus of like, okay, so what's my best move? Pretend that didn't happen at all, or go to Kendall and like ask for some help if he's like the person who's going to be in charge of this thing. I think it ended up being a pretty big miscalculation from Hugo. I think given all of the chaos of what's going on, who is really going to be looking into Hugo and his daughter? Mm-hmm. Probably nobody even knew.
And
Hugo
also
had one.
You know, does Hugo actually have a strained relationship with his daughter?
I don't see any reason why we should think not.
But then why would he call her like, "Oh, hey, oh my god, Logan died."
I was speculating like the very tragic reason would be cuz like he just found out that this man died.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, you know, life is short. And let's heal the rifts. And this man died, and I love you, and all this stuff. And she's like, cool. And then she sells off her stock. So that was my thinking, was that like it was an attempt at reconciliation gone wrong. The lesson learned in the Succession universe is no reconciliation. Do not reconcile. You reconcile, you come to regret it. Only Roy conciliations here on Succession. Trying to think of what else. Connor getting the house for $63 million from a resurgent Marcia.
Was that a good price?
There's a whole article about this that I have bookmarked that I'm waiting to read for the wrap-up show that we're going to do at the end.
Right. Like, I guess that what we really don't know is like, so is like, this is a world like that is a parallel universe, the Succession universe, where they didn't have COVID or haven't had it yet. So I don't know what the real estate market is like in NYC.
Yeah. In 2021, so the building that this is that the exteriors for Logan's Manor are shot in, 991 Fifth Avenue near 80th Street. This is from a Vulture article. In 2021, the society, it was the American Irish Historical Society that has been in this building. In 2021, the society tried a Hail Mary survival tactic, putting up the house for sale at $52 million. It eventually dropped that figure to $44 million before taking it off the market. So that does, if we're mapping it, feel like a bad price that Connor accepted way too quickly, which is why Marcia probably accepted 63 so quickly, because that already is probably.
I just do think it's a little apples and oranges in terms of like, you know, that COVID was just like a total game changer in a lot of ways in the real estate market. Right. And I think it's like hard to
compare. It doesn't
compare
seem like it
two.
Exists in Succession. COVID.
But also like I can't see Connor making a shrewd real estate move. So
hard to
Marcia seems much more like the smooth operator here.
I'm so happy to have Marcia back on the show. I think Marcia being back on the show is a net positive, probably a net negative for a lot of the characters on the show. But I feel like the whole promise of Marcia was this. Was like getting her in this moment of like what happens with Marcia once Logan is dead. And there's a world where the show could have just swept that completely under the rug and Marcia's in Milan forever. But I feel like Marsha being here, we don't, I still don't know. Does she have the additional board seat from all the way back at the start of the show? This was like a big source of contention. They've reopened, I think, like the prenup in season three with like Marsha might have a lot of power, Rob. Could be a very powerful Marsha we're dealing with here in season four.
Greg was so insufferable throughout all of this, where he's like talking to Marsha about Carrie.
Yeah. I mean, fortune's falling. I think fortune's falling with a question mark, I suppose, because that question mark could be pretty loaded. We don't know.
Because it was only, what, two episodes ago that we saw Carrie say that she was going to pull Greg apart like string cheese.
Yeah.
And so I do think that Greg is jumping at the opportunity to bury Carrie here. When he's like, oh, she's coming over here. Oh, she's so distasteful. Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so distasteful. Here come the waterworks. It was so gross. Yeah.
Carrie drop the bag on purpose, Josh?
Wow. I have not even considered why she would. She was like, cause a distraction so she can run.
She was ushered out, and I think she felt like that she would have more time to talk to Roman in particular as she was cleaning up the bag.
Interesting. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, if Carrie is, you know, sort of like the shrewd operator that we've thought she was until maybe the real, then yeah, I could see that. I think that would track for me. Yeah, I like that. I think so. Let's say that. Let's say yes. What did you think of Colin and his jeans?
His jeans, yeah.
Plain clothes Colin.
It's interesting that, you know, you wear your, you know, like a suit all the time, and then you go to make like this Shiva call. And then, you know, you go, instead of wearing like a black suit, like you're wearing jeans, like kind of like a dress down Friday.
Yeah, he's like, it's like an opposite sort of deal. Like, I guess like formal wear. Is like formal wear for like the formal guy, informal wear? Is that how that works? Do you like have to like sort of like turn the suit inside out, basically?
I don't know. Who is the guy
jeans
that
underneath?
Maybe he's a never nude. the guy who gave the speech about Logan Roy.
We saw him in the big politics episode of season three. Yeah,
right. He is. I know him from True Blood.
He's in True Blood. He is Milton from Office Space. So you've definitely seen his stapler. He is Fuchs on Barry, currently having its final season right now. Steven Root is an additive presence always.
Yes. I love that Logan Roy is running Rolling News in heaven now.
As a giant of the conservative movement. Connor had some serious issues with the way that history is being written right now, said Connor. Not like it. Does Tom have a path out of this?
I think that he's got to reconcile with Shiv, and I think that maybe
he's trying.
Well, I think that maybe the baby, and it's definitely Tom is the father, right? There's no other. Like, it's hard to tell in terms of like how much time has passed, but it's probably been at like what, like 2 months since Italy.
Yeah, and I think it seems like it's been. I think like a few months have passed. I think it seems like she's between 15 and 20 weeks, I think, is what smarter minds than I have cobbled together. About
I could have sworn that the doctor said that they would see her
at
20 weeks. Yeah. So I do not think that it could be 20 weeks yet.
Yeah. I think that it would be a real swerve to have this happen and for it not to be Tom's. Like, is it going to be like Nate, the politics guy that she was hanging out with back in season one? Like,
no, I don't think so.
Did something happen off screen? I think probably not.
Yeah. So I do feel like that this is like Tom's best chance to reconcile.
Yeah. She needs to, I don't know. He's going to need to find like the words that will actually get her to, you know, remember the good times, but hasn't been happening yet. Anything else from Honeymoon States, Rob?
Let me see. Anything else from my notes?
Yeah.
you know,
are you crossing out your notes as you go?
As we've gone through, have crossed out some things. After we've
talked very about like them. Clear cross outs.
Let me see if you
if you can hold them up
see,
for me.
The thing is that the focus is gonna be. You might have to go full screen on me.
I'm gonna be able to see my notes real quick.
Just to give you my that's the odd.
Yeah, it's the opposite one.
Just to give you my process, this is like from my latest viewing.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry I insulted blue ink before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I write with a lot of blue pens, Josh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I, was like watching and exercising this morning and doing, anything that was like jogging a memory, like scribbled it down.
Literally jogging a memory.
No, I didn't have it in me today.
Yeah. Yeah, this just walks, just uphill.
Just walking up a hill.
Straight line.
You can't do a curve.
Can't do a curve. A curve.
Hard to simulate that indoors.
Rob, I am out next week. I am not going to be on the Succession podcast. The Great Grace Leader is going to be joining you next week to talk about an episode that I am sad to miss because of the title. You ready for the title of the next
Pizza
episode?
Party?
I wish. That would be great. Kill List. Kill List is the name of the next episode of Succession. Did Logan Roy leave behind like assassin instructions? Are the clandestine warriors being like called upon because they didn't get the call that they need to get every 24 hours to prevent them from like taking out the world leaders?
Yeah.
What's going to happen in Kill List?
Okay. Let me give you my first thought. Okay. So we know that there were a lot of things that Logan wanted to see happen. And I wonder if Kendall is getting some pushback from the board, from the Greybeards, as Tom called them. And we saw how was it Carl that was like so like
he wanted to get rid of the paper. He wanted to see it just drift away and maybe get flushed down a toilet. I'm kidding, of course.
Of course. Just very comical.
You're speculating in a comic mode.
Yeah. But when he was like just so like nakedly open to Tom, did have the folder that was the logistics of like all of the people that would have been fired. For instance, say like if Jerry is creating problems for Roman, Tom did have like a lot of this if Jerry is creating problems for Kendall, like I do think that Tom could potentially like have some actual maybe the kill list of the people that Logan did want to have taken out that he could go to Kendall with.
Yeah,
as a way to get back in with Kendall.
I think that Tom having something like that is the best chance we got. If you're a Tom Wham fan, for Tom to have like some continued stake in the game. Other than that, I feel like he's sort of just like hanging on by the good graces of Shiv until she's like finally decided to just like execute him. I feel like so. If Tom has the kill list or if Tom is on the kill list, who can say? I look forward to finding out. That's the next episode of Succession. Rob, you got any other Succession takes?
No, I feel like that this was more of a quiet episode here this week, but I'm ready to rock and roll coming up again on Sunday night.
Yes. All right. So it starts all over again Sunday night. We still have the week in review show here on the Succession podcast that's coming earlier than usual, coming on Thursday this week. If you want to check that out live, that's going to be at 8:30 a.m. Thursday morning, bright and early, a really early affair because I got to get on an airplane shortly thereafter. So postshowrecaps.com/YouTube if you want to watch that one live. And you definitely want to watch the live Sunday night recap of Kill List. Mike Bloom stepping in my place on the live show coming up. And then we've got a full week of Succession coverage again, including Grace coming here onto the Rob and Josh show to talk with you about kill list next week. Make sure you are subscribed. PublisherRecaps.com/succession is the RSS link for all of our succession coverage when you search by URL. Or if you want to make it the Rob and Josh show all the time, you want to make sure you're subscribed. PublisherRecaps.com/Rob and Josh is the way for that. Rob, what else you got going on right now?
So we got Survivor coming back. I had a fun podcast this past weekend with Chappelle on Nothing But Netflix as Sasha Joseph joined us to talk about Beef. I know you were telling me you had seen some of Beef. Did you finish?
I finished Beef, and then it feels like the universe finished Beef as well. Might be where we're at this point.
Yeah, so wild show, very interesting podcast to talk about all of that, and so plenty of stuff at robiswebsite.com.
Rob, I know that we a few weeks ago talked about the season 3 premiere of Star Trek Picard.
Yeah.
As of this current recording, the series finale is not yet out, but it's
Thursday.
24 hours away, less than, I think, at this point. We've both been keeping up with it. People should have kept up with it if they didn't, right?
Yeah, I'm scheduled to join Jess and Mike to talk about the finale coming up on Thursday. So
incredible.
I'm very much looking forward to reuniting with the crew.
Yeah, beam aboard. It's been great. One of the best shows at the moment, I think, is Star Trek Picard. So if you haven't been checking it out, if you're next
Some would say it is the moment.
I think it might be. So says
Picard's father.
Picard's father. What does that make Riker? Is he uncle?
Imzadi.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we could stay here and continue to do that.
More like Imzadi, if you know what I mean.
Jack is baby boy, I think. Beverly.
Are you talking about Cousin Greg?
Yeah. No, he's baby girl on the internet is what I heard. All right, that's the Succession podcast this week. Grace and Rob coming back in the feed next week. Until then, everybody, take care. And, I guess I should say, do I say F off or strap off? I think I said that.
Strap on. Strap off.
R to the O, B, and Josh Wigler talking about...